This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Folks, welcome back in. Good to be with you. Big hour coming up. We've got a lot going on internationally that we want to deal with. And what we're dealing with, of course, is tension. But that tension has been relieved to some degree because of the president's policies. But, of course, when it comes to Russia, Iran, and Syria, and then, of course, Israel in the middle of it, that's a whole other story. Matthew Brodsky is a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group. His focus is the Middle East. He's been director of policy for the think tank, the Jewish Policy Center, editor of their journal called In Focus. He was a legacy heritage fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council, has briefed members of Congress, Department of State, Defense, Special Operations Command, and the National Security Council. Good to have him with us. Mr. Brodsky, how are you? Nice to have you on the program.
Great to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You did a book about this problem in Syria, where Iran has now gotten in, Israel's gotten upset, Russia's there, has been there for many years, backing Assad and the Assad family, back to the Soviet Union. So we've got issues there. How much tension is there now that Israel has been more willing to take aggressive, proactive strikes in Syria against the Iranian troops that are there?
Well, I think the way I would characterize it is that the civil war aspect of what's happening in Syria has pretty much come to an end. We've known that the war was going to be won in Assad's favor once he retook Aleppo, which is Syria's second largest city. That was at the December 2016, right before President Trump took office. And since then, the war is now shifting to the Israeli perspective, which is they want to see Iran removed from the entire country. And Assad, of course, needs the president of Syria, needs Iran's ground forces there to secure his rule, and Russia is, of course, protecting him. So it's basically going to be a long-term struggle between Israel attacking Iranian positions wherever it sees them inside of Syria, and Russia basically trying to play the middle ground. And their new role Russia gets to play is essentially a role of the arbiter of peace in the country. They basically, everyone, if you just look in the past few weeks, everyone is plowing a path to Putin. You've had the Helsinki summit with Trump and Putin. You've had Netanyahu meet with him just a few days earlier, the Prime Minister of Israel, and the Turkish president met with them in South Africa over last weekend. So everybody wants to talk to Putin because everyone believes that he is the one who can actually remove Iran from Syria. Unfortunately, that is an incorrect assumption, yet everyone still seems to think that that they can do that.
Interesting point. So let me ask you, though, let's go back. We had Barack Obama talking about his red line. We had Syria use chemical weaponry against hundreds of people, women and children, killed by those attacks. And Obama, of course, did nothing about it. He certainly was willing to listen to Hillary Clinton and get rid of Gaddafi in Libya, which actually was the wrong thing to do because Gaddafi had been silenced after that attack during the Reagan administration, where one of his children, I believe, was killed. And he backed off. He gave up all of his chemical weaponry and all of his biological weaponry. He stopped having terrorist training going on the deserts of Libya. He had been also giving our intelligence community some inside information. So he was cooperating, yet they got rid of him, but they left Assad in place. How do you explain that?
Yeah, you bring up actually the perfect point, because lost in this whole aspect, and we have to remember that Libya and Syria, both these countries deteriorated within a month or two of each other. So really, if you were sitting there in real time trying to decide where would you want to have an effect, if you're the United States, it should have clearly been Syria, and as you say, not been Libya. And this gets to a point that has been heard ever since that time, is that people who would like to see Assad remain in power even after he's done all that he has done, which is to kill, be responsible for, you know, 500,000 dead at this point. They tend to say, you know, it's better to have the devil that we know rather than the devil that we don't. Well, in Libya, we knew that Gaddafi was strange. He was a bizarre man, but as you correctly say, he had given up his weapons, and now he was just an eclectic, you know, strange leader, whatever. He didn't matter. Assad has been responsible for pushing jihadists through Syria into Iraq to kill American soldiers throughout all of last decade, one of the main transit points. He has been on the wrong side of almost every single issue. So the devil that we know in Syria is, in fact, the worst kind of devil that we could have. And there is no real good explanation, except for at the time, Europe was willing to go into Libya because it involved financial interests that they had. And we decided to do what was, termed the lead from behind approach. And what we see is what we see. The really interesting part, though, I find, is that when everything was happening with Syria to begin with, and this is March 2011, at this point, what we did in Libya was considered largely a success. So there was enough reason for the United States to have tried something against a true American enemy in Assad, because the whole September 11th Benghazi experience and the whole deterioration of Libya didn't occur until months and months later, you know. So we were in the midst of kind of celebrating our success at the time, and yet we turned a blind eye because we had a belief. For some reason, it's a very popular belief that's been on the left, and unfortunately, it's starting to creep in on the right, which was that Bashar al-Assad, the son of Hafez al-Assad, now the leader, that he is some type of reformer, which he is not.
Of course not. But the question then, Matt, would be whether there's any – would Russia allow the removal of Assad if he could help pick the replacement? And could they? Are they in a position to do that?
Russia could be in the position to do that. Would Russia do that? That depends on what the United States is willing to offer. The problem is Iran would not allow that. Iran is much more tied into Assad as a person, and just the family is a dynasty. They're tied into that. What Russia's interests are is, first of all, it's a Mediterranean seaport, one of its only naval ports. And now it has a main army base there, air base there, where it poses a giant threat to, not a giant, but a growing threat to NATO from the southern flank. And of course, now it's able to become, to slightly reinstate its role that it previously had when it was the Soviet Union in Middle Eastern affairs. So Russia can still keep that kind of role and keep its bases if there were another type of leader. It's just important that they would probably be from the same religious sect, which isn't the majority there, but they don't care about that. That doesn't matter.
We only have 30 seconds before we're going to come back after the break, but in 30 seconds, if Russia and the United States could agree on that, which is why Putin and Trump need to talk, if they could agree, couldn't they just say to Iran, get lost, we're replacing Assad, we don't care what you think. Could they do that? 30 seconds.
Yes, I think they could do that. They could decide to take out Assad. The problem is Iran is going to stay there, or it's going to keep its proxies there. I don't think Russia has the capability to actually remove Iran. And I don't know that the United States, unless it really got heavily involved, would be able to do the same.
Well, we would, politically, I don't think we could do it. We'll come right back with Matt Brodsky, Mike Siegel in. The great conversation. He has great insights from all of his experience. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Was The Exorcist a fictional movie? This is Mike Siegel. Once you hear my interviews with Father Eugene Gallagher recorded in March of 1974, you will believe that possession and exorcism are powerful and real forces in the universe. Father Gallagher taught William Peter Blatty on the subject of exorcism, which led Blatty to write the book and result in the production of the film version of The Exorcist in 1973. Father Gallagher's interviews with me were so powerful that Warner Home Video decided to use 20 minutes of our 2.5-hour interview in the 40th anniversary release of The Exorcist last year. Now you can have the entire 2.5-hour interview on DVD. Order your copy of this unforgettable interview at www.mikesiegel.com. That's www.mikesiegel.com. Keep the lights on when you watch this compelling interview. www.mikesiegel.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Back we are. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel in us. We're joined by Matt Brodsky, senior fellow at the Security Studies Group, and we're glad to have him with us. He's had a great background in foreign policy, international relations. In fact, he's been part of a study that's been done, an in-depth report from the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. It's called Controlled Chaos, the Escalation of Conflict Between Israel and Iran in War-Torn Syria, which is an ominous set of circumstances. But let me just ask you, if I can, Matt, about one fundamental question. Should we consider it a fait accompli that basically Iran is in Syria for the long term and not try to remove them? Should we accept that?
Well, whether the United States, first of all, I don't think the United States should accept that. Is it going to be a reality? To some degree, Iran and Syria are, it's not a marriage of convenience. They are strategic allies for a purpose. So Iran had already been within Syria to an extent on specifically on intelligence levels before 2011 and the whole uprising began. Now, of course, it's there militarily and it's entrenched. From Israel's perspective, they cannot allow that to continue. So they are striking at anything that is they consider to be game-changing equipment. So I think what the United States can actually do is to back up Israel with what it's doing if the United States doesn't want to have a bigger military role. But part of that requirement, in order to keep Iran's presence to a minimum, I mean, and again, I'm being realistic, it's hard to imagine Assad existing without Iran on the ground there.
Okay, so Iran basically is a buffer for Assad. So your point, in other words, an interesting point. I'd make the analogy to the Ukraine and Crimea that what Obama should have done was given military weaponry to the Ukraine to defend itself. Trump has done that. And you're suggesting a similar template that we have. We give Israel what it needs militarily to do the job itself. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah. Right. The analogy works up to a point because we had we could have used some of the groups that were inside of Syria itself to, you know, the rebel groups, some of them that we could have vetted before. But Obama never took it seriously because he wasn't actually serious about rolling back Iran inside of Syria. His entire goal was to just go after ISIS, which is a plan that has been picked up now by this president, because we're not really focusing on Iran either. But we could have done that with rebel groups. At this point, we've closed out that option completely. Now, yes, we can do this with Israel by giving them basically intelligence sharing. But the important part of that is basically keeping the 2,000 troops that we have, which is not a lot, where they are, which are strategically located in the northeast in oil fields, essentially, in the northeast part of the country, and a small base that we have in Tomsk, which is near the a major crossing, basically the main highway that would run from Iran through Iraq into Syria and into Lebanon. These are the so-called land corridors that Iran is trying to create, an overland route that it can keep bringing in equipment and weaponry, which is all designed, of course, at this point to wage a war against Israel because the war is essentially over. You don't need to have giant missiles that Iran keeps bringing in.
Could there be a danger of a much wider war? I mean, if it got to the point, for example, where Iran inside of Syria, along with its Syrian compatriots and their military, started responding to Israel with heavy artillery and all of that sort of thing, could this be the hotbed for potentially the next world war if it went south?
I don't know about world war, but I can tell you how what the worst case scenario that people look at right now, and that is if you recall, in 2006 there was the war between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is at this point Hezbollah is basically just an arm of Iran, and it basically at this point controls all of Lebanon. So with the start of this war, Israel has been focusing on preventing weaponry from Iran transiting through Syria into Hezbollah's hands for it to use in Lebanon. So everyone who is a strategist had been focusing on just how devastating a war between Israel and Lebanon would be. And everyone would call that the Third Lebanon War. And both sides have, you know, said that they're going to just, you know, flatten the other country. Now, at this point, we have things tied into only Syria. If if you were to have Iran in a position where it felt it wanted to unleash Hezbollah and attack Israel from Lebanon, then suddenly you have a big conflict that involves Israel and Lebanon and Syria. Gaza would likely get involved from the south because Iran has interest there. And
that'd be Hamas. Yeah, so
right.
Well, then the irony of this might be, and of course this is all hypothetical, but it could happen, that it's very possible that the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia might wind up on the side of Israel. Is that a possibility? If that happened?
Well, yes. They're already on the side of Israel right now, far more quietly, I'm sure, than Israel would like. But the Arab states, the Sunni majority Arab states and the Gulf states, really see Iran as the biggest threat they have and their pursuit of nuclear weapons. So on one hand, what keeps Iran from throwing Hezbollah, which is its greatest accomplishment since the 79 revolution, was to create this fantastically organized terrorist organization that now runs Lebanon. They aren't going to sacrifice Hezbollah to fight Israel now if they don't have a nuclear weapon. This is all meant to either go on the offensive and attack Israel or to serve as a deterrent against Israel trying to attack or the Arab states trying to attack Iran's nuclear program. Once they have a nuclear weapon, if heavens forbid they were able to cross that threshold, then all bets are off and they can have any form of rogue behavior. But the Arab world is pretty much behind Israel right now, and they're drawn together by the threat of Iran.
Now, if that were to happen, let's say Hezbollah, God forbid, Hamas, God forbid, Assad got a nuclear weapon, we have about a minute before breaking or less. What would Putin do, do you think? Would Putin try to get rid of those nuclear weapons in the hands of those people?
Well, okay, for Putin's perspective, again, everything is such a bonus if you're Putin. I mean, he really got invited in by Obama in 2013 to do the chemical weapons deal, which, of course, he didn't take care of getting rid of then. And he wants his base in that. So really, all these other diplomatic problems around him are really just a nuisance for him. I don't see him getting involved in Lebanon because he doesn't care about that right now. So I don't see him being drawn in too much more than he is, and he can use brute force and just drop bombs when he sees that it's necessary. Other countries in the West need to have more nuance, apparently.
We'll come right back and pick it up there, Matt. Matt Brodsky is with us, expert on international diplomacy and foreign policy. Has done a great deal of work in that field over the years. Much more coming. Mike Siegel with you. Stay with us on the other side.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all know dental care is essential to good health. That's why I've made sure to have implant procedures done by my dentist when a tooth needs replacement. By having an implant procedure, I avoid bone loss, and you can too. Mike Siegel here, and I can assure you that having an implant can be achieved with the best professional dental care at the most affordable price. It will not cost you $6,000 as some dentists charge. Now you can get the same quality care I received for just $1,995. You heard me right, just $1,995. The fee includes the implant, abutment, and crown. I am thrilled with the quality of my implants, and you will be too, since they perform and look just like natural healthy teeth. Visit 1995dentalimplants.com, 1995dentalimplants.com. Arrange a free no-obligation consultation. It's now affordable to get world-class care for an affordable cost. 1995dentalimplants.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says President Trump was merely expressing his thoughts with his tweet calling up Attorney General Jeff Sessions to end the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
It's not an order. It's the president's opinion. And it's ridiculous that all of the corruption and dishonesty that's gone on with the launching of the witch hunt, the president has watched this process play out, but he also wants to see it come to an end, as he stated many times. And we look forward to that happening.
Remains that are believed to belong to servicemen from the U.S. who fought in the Korean War are now back on American soil. Vice President Mike Pence.
Today, they are known but to God. But soon we will know their names, and we will tell their stories of courage.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Let's get back to it. Mike Siegel in. Good to have you with us. Matt Brodsky is with us, foreign policy expert, trying to hammer through what's going on in the Middle East. That's his specialty. The last question about what's happening with respect to Russia's role in the Middle East. If Syria or one of the other bad guys got nuclear capability, would Putin go along with that? Would he allow it to happen?
Well, I mean, the only threat at this point is whether Iran gets nuclear weapons, and it's an open question as to what Russia thinks about that.
Okay.
I don't see Russia being happy about Iran getting a nuclear weapon, but its effect on Iran is the effect of Iran having a nuclear weapon on Russia is less than it would be on the United States or anyone else in the region right now. Syria wouldn't get a nuclear weapon. Israel destroyed their reactor in 2007, thankfully, and put an end to that. But it's really all up to what happens with Iran, which is the big game, and that's where the United States' efforts, I think, in the region, since Iran is our strategic, the greatest strategic threat we face in the region, that's where we need to be focused on pushing back against, whether that's with sanctions, but throughout any other means that we possibly can. Russia, what it wants, for the most part, is stability, because it really does not have a strong economy. Syria's economy is in shambles, and Iran's economy is absolutely in the tank. So there needs to be, from their perspective, from that access perspective, reconstruction. So what they want is stability, and then they want the whole world to pump in funds because they can't afford it. So they want to pump funds in that will be funneled through, again, a war criminal, Assad, who will only take care of his own clique and not take care of the other refugees. It's a whole other issue. But this is what they want. Stability, no nuclear weapons. This is Russia's perspective. Bring the money in. We'll have good contracts. And then everything will be fine. That's the world according to them.
Okay, well said. So let's turn to the hopeful side, if there is one. You and I met in Paris several weeks ago at the Free Iran 2018 conference and rally. On Friday of that weekend, there was a conference. On Saturday, there was a rally, and 100,000 people showed up. And there's a very large movement, it appears that way, of Iranian people and Iranian supporters who want change in government there, which could be pretty dramatic if it happens. And there were something like 25 or 30 American dignitaries there, including Rudy Giuliani, who goes there every year, including Senator Torricelli from New Jersey, Senator Bill Richardson. Those are two Democrats. And as Torricelli pointed out, this is not a partisan issue between Republicans and Democrats. There is unison about the fact that we need to get rid of Iran. Now that Obama is gone, everybody pretty much agrees, because Obama really got on his hands and knees to the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and gave him everything he wanted. So that meeting, of course, had a very interesting dynamic, because Madame Maryam Rajavi is the woman who ostensibly would take over as president of Iran, at least in the short term, if this government collapsed completely. And not only is she a woman, which would be astonishing for Iran to have that happen, but they would have a democratized society. She's got a 10-point plan that supposedly put in place would recognize other states, would be peaceful, would separate religion from politics. I mean, it would be basically the template of the United States in many ways if it happened the way it's written. What's the possibility of that group and her getting in power?
You know, it's always hard to tell when a revolution breaks out what direction it's going to go. They certainly, of all the Iranian opposition groups, they are the largest and most organized, to be sure. Whether that would actually be translated into support on the ground, it's really difficult to say. What is known is that the street protests are really cutting across all strata of society, unlike previous protest movements there. They have been long and sustained and throughout all parts of Iran, and that it is gathering steam, especially as the people understand that rather than their well-being, the regime cares about its foreign adventures, such as what we were just talking about in Syria, but also in Yemen and other places. And it cares about pumping money into its nuclear program. And the people apparently seem to have had it. And this may lead to a revolution or a change in the regime, because we have sanctions coming up in a few days that are the result of Trump finally leaving the nuclear agreement. And then in November, the big sanctions come on, which is involving anything related to Iran's energy sector. And so anything can happen at that point. The one thing that I would point out that's different about Iran as opposed to the rest of the Arab world that had a so-called Arab Spring, and we saw how that turned out, Iran had three revolutions in the course of 100 years. More than any other area or country in the Middle East, they are primed or ready to pick what I would call the Goldilocks solution. In other words, not picking something that's so extreme in one direction or the other, but finally getting something that really works for the people. And for that reason, I think there's a reason to be hopeful.
Okay, good point. So the week before that conference took place in Paris, during that week, a lot of the merchants closed their businesses in protest. Are those kinds of protests, there were 142 cities involved, I believe, are those protests still going on even now, or has that died down?
No, they're still going on. You can see online every day, whether it's water strikes, strikes because there's lack of water, whether it's truckers are striking, constantly chanting that they don't want to have their money going to Syria or Gaza, to spend it on the people. They're still continuing apace. It's a matter of whether they'll reach a tipping point. And that's why I'm saying, with these sanctions coming back on in two stages, in a few days, and then in November, that's really going to make the rial, their monetary system in Iran, completely plummet even more. Currently, internally in Iran, they're trying to, the leaders are trying to blame it on the president, Rouhani, and they're calling him to, you know, present his plan as if Rouhani and not, you know, Khamenei, the actual real spiritual main leader, is in control. So they're trying to, you know, they may try what all, Arab states basically have tried when they're, when they seem to be in peril, which is a bit of musical chairs with moving around someone here or there that really is irrelevant to the political system to see if it placates anyone. But I think at this point, the jig is up for the Iranian leaders. The people aren't buying it at this point. And that,
yeah, matter of fact, as we heard that week, they were already saying death to Khamenei. So, I mean, that would be unheard of for the supreme leader to be talked about publicly that way. So it's really gotten to that point. Now, the sanctions that are coming on, were these approved by Congress or are these simply executive orders?
This is what happened when the Trump administration decided that it was going to pull out of the Iran deal. What that did was start to put back. It's literally, if you recall the phrase from the Obama administration, that we can snap back sanctions if Iran cheats. Okay, this is the slowest snapback you've ever seen, right? Because it's in 3 months and in 6 months. But this is the direct result of the U.S. pulling out, which means we're not certifying that Iran is doing X, Y, and Z anymore, like we had to do. And so the sanctions automatically come back on our end. And this puts Europe in the position of essentially having to choose between working with the United States, with our markets, or working with Iran.
All right, so the bottom line then is that the sanctions that were there before the deal get back in place, correct?
Exactly.
I will come right back, Matt. Stay with us. Matthew Brodsky is here. Mike Siegel with you. More on the...
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, do what I did. Get yourself or a special person in your life the MTM Silencer Watch. This is Mike Siegel. The MTM is a military tactical watch originally created for the U.S. Air Force to use in the cockpit or for Navy SEALs to rely on in underwater situations. And signaling for help in an emergency is a feature of the MTM Silencer. It has the brightest LED light available with a light mode that can be seen up to 1 mile away. It has a rechargeable battery and comes with a charger that you can rest the watch on each night for a perfect charge. The MTM Silencer watch has digital date, timer, stopwatch, and 5 independent alarms with both vibrating and audible settings. It has a tightly sealed waterproof case of solid stainless steel and scratch-resistant crystal. It is individually numbered and crafted as well. If you are or know a modern-day adventurer or weekend warrior, you get the MTM Silencer watch now at specialopswatch.com, specialopswatch.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Mike Siegel back, Matthew Brodsky with us, senior fellow at the Security Studies Group, expert and specialist with regard to Middle East studies. All right, so Matt, we have the sanctions coming back in two phases, as you said, in a few days, and then in 3 months in November. Once we get those sanctions back in place, as far as the United States is concerned, against Iran, and those are the same sanctions that were there before Obama cut the deal with Iran, what's the impact of that on the possible demise of this totalitarian dictatorship in Iran? Will it make it closer to ending that dictatorship?
I think it very well could. The sanctions are going to be extremely biting, especially secondary sanctions, and we're going beyond what the Obama administration put on, and forget if it's 2011 or 2012, he put on sanctions that Obama had put on sanctions that were tough enough to actually bring Iran to the table. He then, of course, took that pressure off while negotiating. Unfortunately, that's why we ended up with a deal as bad as it was. But the Trump administration is going further than what we had before as far as the United States sanctions. Unfortunately, we have to go further than we did before because aside from our sanctions previously, there was over a decade worth of international sanctions that were passed through the United Nations through five or six United Nations Security Council resolutions, and all of those were completely shredded once the nuclear deal went into effect in 2016. So we need to actually put back the sanctions that we had and then make them even stronger so that other countries know that they cannot deal with the Iranian economy if they want to deal with ours.
Yeah, that's the next question I was going to have. So these sanctions could expedite the removal of this administration, these dictators in Iran, religious dictators. But the point would be whether the people have the would the military, some part of the military, turn against the sitting administration? The people in Egypt, when they had the Muslim Brotherhood president, they got out in the streets. And the military threw out the sitting president, brought in a more moderate president, because the people didn't want that intentional application and thorough application of basically Islamic law traditionally. It's a more secular country. So they got rid of that guy, and Mohamed Morsi. So now the question is, would the military do the same thing in Iran if the people got into a full-blown revolution? Would they give up on trying to defend the Ayatollahs?
That's the difficult question. See, the Iranian government system is is much different than Egypt, though. If Iran's regular army, for instance, the Artesh, were to rise up with the people, that would be one thing. But the problem you have in Iran is that increasingly what started out as a revolution that became Islamic and then has had its, of course, the spiritual leader Khomeini and now Khamenei, at the same time, parallel to this, they've had their own special military, the Revolutionary Guards. They've been gaining in power ever since the revolution, and now they control a large portion of the economy, are incredibly corrupt, and are basically the spiritual leaders. That's who they rely on. So you could have a situation where the Revolutionary Guards decide that they're going to, you know, stand up and depose somehow the leader. But, I mean, they report directly to him, and they're not different. You know, it wouldn't end up with a different situation for the people, because the people wouldn't be fooled by that. The military in Egypt was seen as a separate institution completely, even though Mubarak came from there and Sadat before him came from there. This is something completely different in Iran, where it's the Revolutionary Guards. I mean, they're 100% loyal to the current leader, and even if they rose up to depose him and then said, we're going to be in control instead, well, then it's still the exact same corruption, because it's the same people who are holding the exact same contracts and are in control of the same wars.
So then, in other words, we'd have to see what they did, and they might just stay loyal. Well, then the question becomes, can the people's uprising be successful against them? And at that point, would your policy group advise the United States to supply any kind of military weaponry to the people of Iran in the revolution? Or should we just give moral support and maybe intelligence?
From this point, I would say moral support, intelligence, communication support, so that the word of their own protest movement can keep on spreading. I think it's something that, for the most part, the people need to do for themselves. Unfortunately, the record in the Middle East is, we've learned specifically through Bashar Assad in Syria, is that if you want to remain in power, you need to be 100% thoroughly brutal and crush your opponents. And that's what Assad did. And Assad incidentally picked that up in Syria from watching what Iran itself did in 2009, when there was the last protest movement after Ahmadinejad was reelected in a sham election. They understood that what Iran did then was to completely crush the opposition, what was the Green Movement at that point. I think that Iran would be able to do the same. So it would really take a giant groundswell and then external support. But I don't think that the tipping point can be managed from the outside. That needs to be something that the Iranian people do themselves, and then we can back them up morally, and then increasingly more so if things were to develop in that way. But again, I'm deterministic. I focus on the Middle East. Sorry for that, but the fact is, it's hard not to see how it wouldn't get extremely bloody.
If Obama had been more helpful to the Green Revolution in 2009, might they have been successful at that point? Is there any possibility of that?
I mean, there's a possibility. We don't know. What we do know is it certainly ironed in the idea that if there's any question that you might be overthrown, don't show weakness. There was no give at the end for the Iranian regime at the end of that. You know, they weren't doing like Egypt or even Assad tried some musical chairs bit like I was referring to. We'll do a little here and a little there, and the people were like, no, that's not enough. Iran just crushed it, and that was it. I don't think the protest movement in 2009 was anywhere near what it is right now. The problem is we have a news media cycle, as I'm sure you're aware, that just doesn't pay attention to these type of things right now, because it's not from Trump, and that's the bottom line. The protest movement is far bigger now than it was then, and far more sustained and far more across all parts of Iranian society. It's unfortunate that we in the West don't pay attention to it as much as we should.
What about the UN and non-governmental agencies helping Syria, which is another big problem over there? What can we do through the UN to neutralize Iran, hurt it even further, and also keep Syria from constantly getting funding from these other organizations? And we've got about 2 minutes left.
Sure. I think the main role for the UN could be in humanitarian aid, but the problem is the Assad regime has been siphoning it off. Now, I am one who believes that if Assad is going to remain in power, then the parts of Syria that he controls and he and his whole clique need to be sanctioned and completely isolated. So I don't want to see American money or European money or the United Nations rebuilding Assad's areas. We can rebuild other areas. So making sure that money and relief is delivered not to Assad, which is only going to go to his people, but to the people that actually need it to help facilitate, if possible, the return of refugees, whether it's from Europe or from just from neighboring countries or internally displaced. It's in the millions already. We need to see that the funding gets to those people and not to the war criminal Assad. The UN, I do not have much faith in. I think it's proven itself to be not entirely trustworthy. Humanitarian aid, this might be the one area that it can help in if it can manage to avoid feeding the corruption. But, of course, it itself, by definition, is fairly corrupt from where I sit.
Well, it's been fascinating to get the background on this. People listening really have a better handle on what's going on in the Middle East. We don't hear a lot about it, but it's the place where if there's any major confrontation, conflagration, hostility, it's going to come from there most likely. It's certainly not going to be from North Korea because of all of the volatility in the Middle East with Iran being a nemesis in several different countries. Matt, it's appreciated to talk to you. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for being on the program, sir.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.